This album's celebrating an anniversary.
Sam, are you there?
Hello.
Yay. Bonita. Hello. What's up? We're talking in IRL-ish.
It's crazy.
What's up, bro? So we're looking at Garbage for anniversary album.
Yes, we are. Obviously, you probably, most people would know about Garbage because of the big track they had, which was in the Romeo and Juliet film in 1996.
Yes.
We'll talk more about that later because I'm going to play that.
Oh.
Don't sweat. But firstly, I'm just going to explain a bit of background about Garbage, who they were, how they started, that kind of thing.
Cool.
So they're from Madison, and they formed in 1993 when this guy called Butch Vig teamed up with Duke Ericson, Steve Marker, and Shirley Manson, and she's the vocalist. She's actually from Scotland.
Yes.
The other three are from America. So the three guys, they originally got together kind of like they were into remixing other musicians' songs. They wanted to kind of translate that into a band setup. But then they realized they wanted a singer, so they asked Manson to join, and they wanted a female vocalist, kind of in the vein of Debbie Harry, Chrissy Hines, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, Butch Vig, he's actually made a big name for himself as a record producer. He was the man responsible for Nirvana's Nevermind, and also Sonic Youth and Smashing Pumpkins. He produced a lot of their albums as well. So he had a kind of another career going alongside this group as well.
Cool guy.
Yeah, he's a pretty good guy. He's kind of known as the Nevermind guy.
The Nevermind guy?
Industry. Yeah, they just call him the Nevermind guy. so the three of them, they'd been working together, and then Manson joined in 1994. She'd been in a band called Angel Fish, and once they disbanded, she was able to fully connect with Garbage. And they got to work on their debut record, which is what we're looking at today. And they'd already been working on demos for the songs, and Manson was just come in, and she'd put vocals on top of a lot of already rough sketches of songs. So they used that material that had already been written and sort of combined it with the new stuff, especially the new lyrics that Manson had written as well.
Awesome.
And it was a bit of a long process, the recording. It took about a year and was delayed as well because Vic was continuing his production career alongside the band and working on other projects. And stylistically, it's a bit of a mishmash of sounds. There's definitely a high kind of rock and techno and electro kind of vibe going on here.
Yeah,
there's a bit of punk, bit of hip-hop. Obviously, because of their background in remixing and electronic music, lots of experimentation, lots of loops and remixing going on here. And it was a kind of a combination of the two worlds that the band members had worked in previously. So you had your remix, electronic culture, alternative rock, and it sort of came together. Some actually would even call this kind of dance rock or techno rock.
What on earth? I never heard of that classification before.
No.
But it makes
sense
for the time.
Well, once we played some of these songs, you'll kind of get it straight away.
Yeah.
What they're talking about. And that kind of thing, the molding of electronic and dance music with rock music became more and more common as the 90s went on and into the 2000s as well.
Okay.
And of course, these days, you know, dance and rock combine all the time, so it's kind of it's just become the norm. I like that label particularly, techno rock. Super Vixen, that's the opening track we're gonna listen to.
Okay.
And this is kind of you'll hear it straight away, kind of classic Garbage, lots of sort of snaring guitars. There's some looped guitars at the start here, which is quite cool. You'll hear that effect. It's pretty awesome.
Cheers.
And
all right.
Just keeping in times with the times, alternative rock sounding in places. Yeah, so it's just a great, great album opener.
All right, well, here's the first song, Super Vixen by Garbage.
Stone in your mouth.
That was awesome. That was Super Vixen by Garbage, our anniversary album of the week.
Yeah. So I was just doing a quick little research, actually, while that song was playing. And they actually toured New Zealand for this album in 1996. They played shows in Auckland at North Shore Event Centre and Wellington as well. So it'll be interesting if any of the listeners went to those shows.
I wonder.
That would have been pretty cool.
Because I think I vaguely remember that, because in primary school, Garbage was, like, really popular. It was out of it, but a lot of us really liked Garbage. We were like, man, this is great. But it seems cool. Like quite growing up music to listen to when you're in primary, but I guess it's just the 90s.
Does. Yeah. This is the 90s, yeah. I think the last time they toured here was 2012 or 13.
Yeah, true.
Someone will probably correct me on that. But so if anyone's been to any of those shows, let us know. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, text 5395 if you've seen Garbage.
Yeah, you might have seen them somewhere else too, obviously.
Yeah, in a more exotic location.
The next track we're going to play is one of the more deeper cuts from the record. This is called My Lover's Box, which is a pretty cool title. Yeah. This is a bit of a sort of anthem, a bit of an alti anthem. Manson puts in a really great vocal performance on here. And I think she's a very underrated singer from this era. I think she's got the goods. She's got the chops, that's for sure.
Definitely. 100%.
Yeah. Check it out.
Thank you.
That is quite a harrowing end to the song. We have quite a few texts in of people who did make it to the Garbage Show at the North Shore Events Centre in 1996. A couple of people had witnessed people getting kicked out for throwing bottles or spitting on her. One person was 14 and witnessed it all. What else happened? They were supported by two bands. One was called Ash and the other one was called Pash. And Manson actually Manson renamed the band Trash to suit. Manson's stage presence was so big it was hard to remember that there were other people in the band. Everybody has had a great time. Thank you very much for texting in, listeners. I'm glad to see that there are some garbage fans happening.
14? Yeah. You don't have a show like that.
Oh, I would have loved it. It would have been amazing. we're going to go to a short ad break and then we're going to look at the reception of the album.
Yeah.
If that's okay with you, Sam.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, all right. And we'll be back soon with the conclusion of Anniversary Albums. I wonder what you picked.
Castles Brewing Co. have taken their classic wood-fired brewed beer from Christchurch to the world. Water, New Zealand hops, yeast, smalt, and a little visionary thinking, Castle's award-winning craft beer is the product of a lifetime's determination. With Castle's Milk Stout winning World's Best Stout and Porter at the 2019 World Beer Awards, now's the perfect time to turn to the dark side of beer. Think quality, think Castle's Brewing Co. Available now at leading liquor stores and supermarkets or online at castles.nz.
It may have been raining, but Auckland is still facing a water shortage. That's why we're urging everyone to save 20 litres of water a day, every day. Mandatory restrictions are also in place. Households cannot use outdoor hoses. The time to act is now. If we all save a little, together we can save a lot. For information on these restrictions, including how they apply to businesses, go to watercare.co.nz.
It's music.
We say what we feel like saying.
The original originator. Go to 95bfm.com for show podcasts.
Kia ora koutou, mā nō mai, hara mai ki te irirangi pōho. If you've just tuned in, this is Geneva and we're doing Morning Glory. We've got like maybe half an hour-ish left, but I'm here with Sam Smith and we're doing Anniversary Albums concluding Garbage from 1995.
Hello. Yes, indeed. Hello. So just going to talk about the reception and the legacy of this particular album. So it did very well commercially. It reached number 20 in the States, going double platinum, and it also reached number one in New Zealand.
Woo.
So obviously they were well-loved down here. Critically, it was also very well received. Critics were impressed with the melding of rock and dance, as we talked about. Melody Maker hailed it as the closest to perfection as a pop rock record can be. Addicted to Noise described the album as being like a Jackson Pollock painting, which I thought was quite an interesting kind of description.
Lovely.
Yeah, I could feel the splashes on the canvas, you know.
A lot of movement, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And The Village Voice named it the 19th best album of 1995. Since then, The Guardian voted it the 71st best album of all time. And I think it really sat nicely in that kind of post-grunge world, the mid to late 90s, and kind of showed what you could do if you combined rock and dance music.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the next few years, more and more groups will go down this route, especially, as I said, in alternative music. You also had the new metal wave in terms of, I guess, just combining different styles. And, it just became a completely, regular thing to just, experiment and try different things. And there weren't really any rules. And you do what you wanted in music. As for the band, they released three albums after this before splitting in 2005.
Mm.
They then reunited in 2010, and they've released a further two albums. They also wrote the James Bond theme for the 1999 Bond film, The World Is Not Enough.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Until I did the research for this, I didn't actually know that either. So there's a fun fact. And speaking of films, for the final track today, this song was made very famous because it was in a film. You might remember the 1996 Baz Luhrmann adaptation of Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Classic 90s film. If you were at high school in the 2000s, you probably ended up studying this film for English.
I remember seeing it when I was like 7, and my mum just being like, "It's Baz Luhrmann. It's like amazing. You have to see it."
Yeah. I know. My parents got the soundtrack, so I remember that distinctly.
It was number 2 in the Red Curtain trilogy.
Yes.
It was Strictly Ballroom, Romeo and Juliet, and Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. And Garbage had a song on the soundtrack and in the film.
They did.
Number 1 Crush, which was remixed especially for the film by Nellie Hooper, who most people recognise as being a member of British group Soul to Soul.
Yeah.
He remixed the track, and it probably became their most well-known song and biggest hit. It certainly helped bump up the sales for this record. It kind of made them a lot of money.
Well, that's so, what they want, isn't it? The money.
That's what they want.
They want the money.
We're going to finish with that.
Yes.
Because it's a great remix, it's a great song, and it's a great film.
It is
so
a great film. And thank you very much, Sam, for putting this together. Sure we will see each other fairly soon at some point.
In the future.
In the future, out there in the world. Hope you're wearing your mask. Hope you're staying safe.
I did wear my mask today. Got my tracker code app thing.
Well done. Very good. And thanks very much to all the listeners who have been texting in. Sorry, I couldn't read them all out, but there's a great response here, Sam. I'll take
that's
a picture
awesome.
Of them so you can read them.
Oh, thank you.
All right. This is Number 1 Crush, the Nelly Hooper mix. You're tuned into 95 BFM. Boom.
Bye.
Bye, Sam.
Bye.
For you, I've been dying just to feel you.
happy anniversary to that album.
Happy anniversary.